This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, May 27th, 2011. I'm Caleb Brown. A man is shot and killed by 60 bullets in yet another SWAT raid gone wrong. The victim this time was an Iraq War veteran. Video footage is providing clues about what happened, but the characterization of the raid and its executors raises serious questions about the militarization of American law enforcement. Cato Institute legal policy analyst David Ritgers comments.
The Pima County Regional SWAT team conducted a raid that killed a former Marine, Jose Gurena. And we've seen video now of the raid from a helmet camera. The raid does not make the department look very good. The allegation that that Gurena was either a home invasion expert, part of a gang that conducted home invasions to rip off rival drug gangs, where he was a drug dealer himself. It's not exactly clear what the story is coming from Pima County, because it's changed a couple times over the course of the investigation that seems to be ongoing. The most alarming thing is that the court documents, the warrants in support of the raid, are sealed, and not sealed because they didn't want to let on to the suspects of in the raid, but sealed after, 4 days after the raid, in what increasingly looks like a cover-up of incompetence involved in executing the raid.
A positive note, I suppose, if there is one to be found, is that this footage exists.
Right. And we've seen the expansion of police cameras, helmet-mounted cameras in this instance, sometimes cameras mounted on the officers in a headset or on a chest, like a medallion that hangs around the neck or clips to the shirt. So we're seeing video employed by law enforcement agencies, which is good both to counter allegations of excessive force, and in fact, if the force is reasonable, then the video will show that it was. And second, it makes great evidence, and it makes the case for the prosecution. It shows what happened.
What we do know is that the soldier here did not fire a weapon.
That's right. We know that that the deceased Jose Gurena was asleep at the beginning of the raid, and he had just finished working through the night at a mine, got off work, got home, and went to sleep. And as we look at the video, we see that even though some of the things that the officers are doing are constructive and are the right thing to do, first there is the presence of a camera, which is good and that should be encouraged. And there was a siren used. I thought the siren sounded a bit like a car alarm. If you were inside the house, you might not instinctively know that that was, in fact, a police siren and not a car alarm going off. But when the officers dismount from the Bearcat and approach, which is the armored vehicle that they're using to get to the house, when they leave the armored vehicle and they go to the outside of the house, there's a generally lackadaisical demeanor in the way that they move. They're not moving with a sense of purpose. And frankly, from someone who's done some raids, more in a military context, not in a law enforcement context, it did not look particularly sharp. And the officer on the far left, as they approach the door, should be covering the window. And he is not necessarily doing that the whole time that he's up there. And the officers do, for a period of about 8 to 10 seconds, repeatedly say that this is the police, that this is a warrant service to hopefully diffuse the possibility that they get mistaken for home invaders. The problem is that after they breach the door and the door is blown open, we don't hear, at least from the camera footage that I've seen, we don't hear a continued effort to announce that they are officers. So if you were asleep when all of this started, now this it's a positive thing that the raid happened during the daytime and not at night, because that increases the possibility of it being perceived not as a warrant service but as a home invasion. But the fact that Mr. Gurena was asleep at the beginning of it shows how someone would just be awakened by this ruckus outside. And if the officers do not continue to say that this is a warrant service, then there is the possibility it would be perceived from the inside of the home as a violation of the home by home invaders. So that's one thing that I think really should have been done, is that there should have been a continued effort to announce that this was the presence of police in the home and a warrant service. In reading through the statements of the officers given in the wake of the shooting, first off, let's note that contrary to the statements of the department, the officers were not separated immediately after the raid and their statements taken separately, because audio has come forward in the files released of the officers standing around 45 minutes afterwards talking about what happened, which, conscious or no, has the effect of getting their story straight and consistent, which is not what has been the statements, the position of the sheriff's office to this point. But second, in the documents, the SWAT supervisor refers to his officers as operators. And I think that the term operator, unless you're familiar with it, the way that it's used in the military community, may not be as alarming as perhaps it should be. The term operator is used within the special operations community to signify that someone is a member of an elite unit. Whether they're a Green Beret, a Special Forces soldier, or a SEAL, they are commonly called an operator, because it really is a different line of work. It's part soldier, part spy, part diplomat, and there's even one upsmanship within the community. If they're just a SEAL, are they an operator, or do they have to be in SEAL Team 6 to be termed an operator? Well, that term has migrated into the SWAT community, and I think that that's a negative development for two reasons. First, I never liked the term operator when I was in Special Forces as a blanket usage. It could be noting pride or proficiency, but sometimes people would use it in a way to wish away the realities of what they're doing. Well, we don't necessarily need a plan. We're operators. It was one usage that I kind of did not like when I was in special operations. But secondly, if you're calling yourself an operator, then you've taken yourself out of the civic role of enforcing the law. I mean, operators, as we saw with the Bin Laden raid, an operator is working under different rules of engagement. You can be in the room. The object of your raid, the enemy commander, can be unarmed. If he does not surrender to you explicitly, you can shoot him in the face legally under the laws of armed conflict. And even though these officers may call themselves operators, what happened was they killed a United States Marine Corps veteran, combat veteran, in the hallway of his home.
Police don't shy away from those kinds of comparisons. Typically, they do not often, in many cases, refer to themselves, police, as civilians, which they are in fact civilians.
And that's a crucial distinction. They are civilian law enforcement officers. They should not refer to the rest of the citizenry as civilians, because there are only two legal spheres for the use of force. There is the military realm, where force can be used at the outset. There is no obligation to take someone alive if the situation isn't presenting itself. If that's not the object of the operation, you can shoot them. Nazi soldier sleeping in his bunk in Normandy is fair game. You can shoot him, stab him, sneak in the middle of the night, choke him with a garrote. Civilian law enforcement officers operate under different rules, and the only reason that they should be using lethal force is because they or someone else is in serious danger.
David Ritgers is a legal policy analyst at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.